Tucked away in southwestern Delaware is a farmland oasis. It's October, and Bill Jester's cornfields are barren, but between them, things are growing.
This is like a kidney-shaped wetlands.
And so what did this look like before?
Farmland. It was actually tilled.
He's created this 3-acre inland marsh with the help of Delaware's Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP. It pays farmers to make eco-friendly upgrades that prevent runoff where they can't or don't want to grow crops.
They picked out the plants and the bushes, and, you know, there was different kind of flowering bushes and all for the different kind of animals and all involved. And as you can see, from here up is a completely different project.
The annual payouts themselves aren't much, $104 for an acre of grass, $135 for an acre of wetland. That came out of a much larger state fund set up in 1990, but this year it's run out. Bob Palmer heads up conservation programs for Delaware's Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, or DENREC.
Knowing this was coming, we as a department have recommended a CREP line item, a budget item, for the last 5 years, and it just hasn't gained any traction.
Delaware is facing a $130 million budget deficit, and little programs like the CREP are being shelved, meaning the state won't get the matching federal funds that go with them. That won't impact Bill Jester this year. He's not up for re-enrollment, and the USDA will still cover its 20% of the CREP's cost until he is. But losing the CREP poses a much larger problem, says DENREC's Marcia Fox. She's the lead on the state's Chesapeake Bay Watershed Implementation Plan. It's Delaware's piece of EPA goals for cleaning up Bay Region waterways.
We decided by 2025 that we would have 7,020 acres of riparian forest buffer on the ground. And in Delaware, most of those acres are implemented through the CREP program. In the past few years, we haven't been too successful with implementation just because of the funding being cut and the willingness of some of the farmers.
By last year, they'd only planted about 2,500 acres of trees on watershed soil, and that was with the CREP up and running. Now that it's suspended, Fox says they'll have to rely on less effective EPA-approved best management practices.
So we have to be extremely innovative in the upcoming years as we approach our 2017 midpoint.
Delaware is far behind states like Maryland and Virginia in the race to meet the EPA's ambitious goals for reducing runoff. They've tried to innovate on a big scale. Just last month, Maryland introduced a nutrient credit trading program inspired by Virginia's. It lets private and public entities team up to contribute different load reductions to the total. Ben Grumbles is Maryland's Secretary of the Environment.
It's a very important way to do more than just the status quo or the command and control tools of the last 20 years. And that is what the writers of the Chesapeake Bay pollution budget were envisioning, was that there'd be innovation to bring more parties into the mix.
He says it would be convenient to team up with Delaware on the Delmarva Peninsula, but DENREC officials say Delaware is too small to make large-scale credit trading practical, and the agricultural sector doesn't seem interested. So how will the first state meet its 2017 goals? Marcia Fox, the watershed plan lead, says they'll reevaluate that in the coming months to see,
you know, who do we need to work with? How do we need to become more innovative with the best management practices and the funding?
That could mean getting the EPA to add new things Delaware's already doing to its list of what counts toward runoff goals, or it could mean working with nonprofits and other federal agencies on their old favorite, tree planting. Still, Delaware and other lagging states will likely face EPA penalties in 2017 for not meeting midway goals. Fox wouldn't speculate on how much federal funding Delaware stands to lose or earn back if new practices get approved down the line. But if the state can't pay for its own incentives, she says it'll be hard to convince land users, people like Bill Jester, to stay involved in restoration work. Jester, though, says it's not just about the money. He says he could make three times as much farming on his CREP land as he does from incentives, but he and farmers like him don't mind doing their share. Plus, he says,
how do you measure the return of something you like to do?
We're riding on a little tractor to see another part of Jester's farm, one that was improving the watershed long before Jester was getting public money in return.
Now, this begins the 45 acres of pine trees. These are specifically planted.
We've crossed one of his cornfields into a huge pine forest, planted as rows of saplings in 1986. It's a crop like anything else, but this is a long-term project.
We did it once in 25 years, then we'll probably wait till 35, another 10, and everything you see from here out will be cut.
Across the Jester property, there's a pond Bill's father dug, stocked with fish and lined by trees in brilliant fall color. Again, not state-funded, he says, but just something nice for the land. Still, he thinks the state could get more farmers involved in its programs.
I don't know if the owners, you know, you got to take the initiative to go there. I don't know if it'd be better if they went around and tried to sell it more. But listen, you hear an airplane, but...
Even without incentives, he says, all these ponds, wetlands, and forests help his land stay healthy, and he'll aim to keep it that way well into the future. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Annie Ropeek in Harrington.